What is really going on, crypto savages? You are listening to the CoinSpice podcast with host C. Edward Kelso, editor-in-chief at CoinSpice.io, your home for spicy crypto things on the net.
All right, so this is indeed an honor. I am with Ian Freeman of Free Talk Live, a show that's been around, radio program, geez, in one form or another since the early 2000s. And it is mandatory listening for anybody with a slightly, you know, mildly libertarian bent all the way over to a cranky anarchist like myself. He is one of these figures in the space that's sort of a gadfly. You will hear movers and shakers routinely refer, especially in cryptocurrency, refer to Ian in particular and his show in general, Free Talk Live, as being, you know, the impetus, or, oh, I heard this idea, or I went this way because of that show. So that's a long way to go to basically say thank you, Ian Freeman, for joining us on the show. We really appreciate it.
Edward, thank you for having me.
I'm not sure if you're born with it or you developed it, but you have the best voice in all of radio. Has anybody told you that?
That's ridiculous, but thanks.
It's just one of those voices that is so, I mean, like, do you talk that way? Do you have that same sort of intonation with chicks and stuff?
I don't meet many women. I'm in the libertarian and crypto movements. Sorry.
They're not allowed.
Oh, they're certainly allowed. They just don't come around. I don't know if you've been to crypto conventions before.
Yeah, it's kind of, I guess, de facto repellent. That's hilarious. Well, very cool. Let's start off with, kind of the basics. You have such an unconventional story and personal life, and what's really interesting to talk to someone like you is that this is not just theory that we're about to get into. Like, you actually live it. And if you can kind of start with maybe a little bit about how you sort of came to libertarian-ish ideas, and then on from there.
Sure. I never really liked being told what to do growing up. So I kind of feel like I've always had sort of an anti-authoritarian tendency. But, you know, I didn't know what the belief system was until later. In my teenage years, I smoked cannabis for the first time and realized that the government had lied to me about that, you know, with the drug indoctrination that they give people. And so I ended up wondering, you know, what else they'd lied to me about. It turned out it was pretty much everything. So became a libertarian activist back when I was probably, like, I don't know, 18, toward the end of the 90s.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, just did various different forms of outreach with the Libertarian Party down in Florida until I discovered the idea of the Free State Project, which is a migration of libertarians who, and voluntarists and anarchists, people that love freedom, to migrate all to the same place, or at least as many as we could get to agree to it. And the target number was 20,000. So I signed up for that. It took me about a year to figure out whether I wanted to do it or not. And I decided, yeah, we need to get libertarians together, because liberty people are, you know, never successful at anything, because there's just not very many of them and they're all spread thin. So I joined the Free State Project, moved from my home of Florida to my new home of New Hampshire, which I just celebrated 13 full years here in New Hampshire as of Labor Day weekend. So it's been an amazing run, and we've got more liberty-minded folks, many of whom are cryptocurrency fanatics and programmers and, you know, doers, coming here to New Hampshire. And that's why New Hampshire is one of the top places on the planet for cryptocurrency.
I was going to say, it's probably at least the top in the United States, but you're saying if not the world, right? So there's crypto businesses and startups and merchants everywhere there, right?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say it's everywhere, but we have, like here in Keene, where I live, and out in Portsmouth, which is kind of like our sister city out on the east side of the state. We're on the west side of New Hampshire here. Both of those cities have very high concentrations per capita of cryptocurrency accepting businesses, more so than even some of the supposed top cities like San Francisco. Like, we blow them out of the water. And, you know, then you've got the other supposedly very high-end, like, high-level crypto acceptance cities For instance, Townsville, Australia, which is being called Bitcoin Cash City.
Yeah.
We even beat them on per capita cryptocurrency acceptance. And our businesses here aren't just taking Bitcoin Cash. They're all also accepting Dash and, of course, Bitcoin BTC, but nobody pays with BTC unless they're crazy and want to pay way too much in fees. So, yeah, very, very high concentration of businesses accepting per capita. And that's the reason that's possible is because of the libertarian activists that moved here to begin with, many of them as much as a decade ago. So we're building on that success.
Yeah, and I think it what has sort of helped it along quite a bit, at least from an outsider's perspective, is your radio program, Free Talk Live. And from my skeletal trace memory, you were, if not the first radio program to put it out there as more than just a curiosity. You were at least very early to it. Is it safe to say you guys discovered Bitcoin and sort of the idea as early as, say, 2011?
Yeah, I think my co-host Mark tracks it back to like December of 2010 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
He said that it was one of our listeners and supporters named Jeremy West who called in. He's an American who lives in Australia. He was hosting his own podcast, I think, around then. But anyway, he called in to kind of tell us about this, new thing, this program, Bitcoin. And we talked about it. And at some point, Roger Veer was one of our listeners and sponsors. At the time, this was back when he was just Roger from memorydealers.com, which was his memory sales business. And so he was one of our sponsors. He was a listener and he heard the conversation. And I think it was like the second time that we talked about it, he really caught the vision for it and went out and bought a bunch of it. I wasn't smart enough to actually buy any of it. So
I was going to ask, how did it strike you when, can you remember back to that time? Like how did it, when it first hit you, because in case people don't know, libertarians are at least stereotypically, gold bugs, and we're constantly looking for, alternative currencies, barter, all these sorts of things. And so prior to Bitcoin, there were lots of little experiments going on. So this is definitely right up your alley, I'm assuming, at the time. But how did you find it like that? Sorry. Meaning, how did you take it in at first?
That's so long ago, it's hard to remember exactly, but I think that I remember back when Gavin Andreessen met with us, who was one of the original Bitcoin programmers. He lives in Amherst, Massachusetts, which is about an hour south of where we live in Keene. And so he was also a listener of Free Talk Live and Free Talk Live Amplifier, which is somebody who contributes like $5 a month to our show. And so he contacted us and said, "Hey guys, would like to meet you for lunch and tell you about this thing that I'm involved with."
Holy
and so we met with him and he kind of answered our questions. And I remember my main objection or concern was like, well, what's this backed by? Cause I'm used to of gold and silver and the idea of, real, hard money and that kind of stuff, which we were certainly into on Free Talk Live. And so he did a good job of answering some of our objections and kind of explaining things to us. I think he paid Mark like a bunch of Bitcoins, like a few dozen Bitcoins or something like that for the lunch at that time. But again, like I said, I didn't really see the vision for it. And so I really don't deserve any credit for it. I kind of got pulled along into it because it was Roger Veer who, bought a ton of, Bitcoins. I don't know how many he bought back in the day, but I suspect it was quite a few. And then he offered us to pay his advertising bills in Bitcoin. And I think early on I was like, we'll take 10%. So, had I taken 100% early on, we'd probably have 10 times as many Bitcoins. But live and learn.
Yes, sir. No, I think a lot of people listening right now are shaking their heads going, "Oh, I was right there with you, brother. The one that got away." Crazy that it's because Gavin Andreessen goes on to become infamous in many ways within the Bitcoin world. But one of them is just through Gavin's faucet, which he would just disperse and give away for free so people would, you know, try it, Bitcoin. And it, he would give away, I mean, I'm not sure what the number is, but it was a, I mean, he gave away, I'm going to make it up, but probably millions of dollars of Bitcoin at some point when you tally it all up.
Well, yeah, he was giving away entire Bitcoins, if I recall correctly, back at some point. Like, yeah, you would deposit and you'd get a whole Bitcoin out or something like that. Maybe more than one. I don't remember. It's been a long time.
Yeah, crazy, crazy, craziness. So, all right, so it was really Roger Ver who kind of pushes the issue with you guys. So it's no longer a, you know, salon exercise or, geez, what if. He starts to push the payment, you know, and you guys – taking it as a form of remuneration. I think Mark recently talked about this, you know, having to, like, you know, dump it. And, like, he was like, well, geez, you know, our vendors, the people that we're, you know, that are relying on us to pay them aren't going to take this stuff. So I got to get out of it somehow. And then he describes, you know, having to convince people to take it for, you know, again, I'm going to make up the number, but, you know, hundreds of Bitcoin for, you know, X service or whatever, just to convince them, which now translates into, you know, a lot of money.
Yeah, you know, that's how it goes. I mean, nobody knew back then what it would what it would ultimately become, obviously. And so, I mean, everybody likes to kick themselves for not buying sooner or not buying more sooner or whatever. But, you know, you can't take back the past, and at least you know now. So buy what you can afford and hold on for the ride, you know.
That, and also I think we sometimes do the cart before the horse. So it's people like you and your, if not agnosticism or even reluctance in the beginning, that take it, that further it, and then try to push it on, that actually, this is, I guess, become controversial now, that actually give Bitcoin its value. So people begin to see, hey, wait a second, this thing, you know, works. And so it's, it's easier to look back now and go, oh, I paid, you know, $400,000 for a bow tie or whatever, but that's really not true.
It had to happen. I mean, the people that, you know, give the pizza guy, the Bitcoin pizza dude, you know, grief over, like, oh my God, how much, look how much you spent. Well, like, what if he hadn't have spent it? You know, who knows how long it would have taken for somebody else to do it. I mean, it probably would have happened eventually, but, and you know, just because he spent it didn't mean that he didn't go ahead and mine another 10,000 Bitcoins relatively shortly thereafter. So, you know, he's probably, I would imagine he's doing all right, but, who knows?
Yeah. There's all sorts of legends about that, but in any case, that's really cool. So is it safe to say that, you know, fast forward 8 or so years later, that Free Talk Live, Ian Freeman, Keen, that whole area and your whole milieu is now firmly ensconced in the cryptocurrency idea, that it's kind of fully weaved its way into your life?
I'm sorry, you cut off on that last word. It's fully weaved its way what?
Sorry, fully weaved its way into your life.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I spent a lot of time doing cryptocurrency-related outreach stuff. So we have here in Keene, there's the Bitcoin Embassy, New Hampshire,
right,
that started last year. And it was my church, the Shire Free Church, that made that possible. And we've been selling Bitcoin in crypto vending machines. So Bitcoin and Dash and Bitcoin Cash are available in vending machines, both here in Keene and in Manchester, New Hampshire, that the church is operating. And so we actually have 3 machines total here in Keene. Now, the 2 of them are run by my organization, the church, and then one is run by a private company that is a, you know, for-profit business. So we actually have, like, more cryptocurrency vending machines here in Keene than many cities even have in total, certainly per capita, far more. So I spend time, you know, administering that and working. There's an outreach program here now on local radio that's promoting cryptocurrency. We're doing giveaways to locals that are brand new to crypto. So just within the last 2 months, I've set up probably 70, at least 70 new wallets and sent them some free crypto just for, you know, kind of coming on board. So I'm trying to do what Roger Ver did a long time ago, you know, kind of looking up to what set the example that he set when he came here to Keene a long time back, probably like 2012 or something. And he came to a local libertarian meetup that we have here every week. And he was willing to give, at that time, it was $10 worth of Bitcoin, which was at that time about 10 Bitcoins.
Wow.
To anybody who would install a Bitcoin wallet. Now, I don't remember which, you know, what the wallet du jour was of that moment, you know, Mycelium or something like that. So I figured, you know what, that's a cool idea. And I wanted to expand it out to basically anybody from this area who's new to cryptocurrency. So that's something that, you know, we're doing. We're using some of the money that comes from the vending of the Bitcoins to actually, you know, reach out to new people and explain to them what cryptocurrency is and why it's important.
And on that note, do you find that it's easier to have a conversation about a particular crypto with what we call noobs or people who are not, you know, acclimated or oriented towards cryptocurrency? Is there a particular coin that's kind of easier to talk about or easier to deal with than others, or is there like sexier versions of one that you find more people ask you about?
I would say the level of interest generally is still relatively low as far as the public is concerned. The level of awareness is, you know, pretty high, especially here in Keene, where we've, you know, been doing active outreach now on old media for a couple of years. So a lot of people have definitely heard of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, but the market penetration is still pretty low. And that's one of the reasons why we need to get more crypto libertarian types to make the move here to New Hampshire. Just because having, not only is it a good idea to have libertarians together for sort of political action sorts of, you know, activism purposes, but it's also particularly useful to have them in the same place if they happen to be cryptocurrency fans and people who are willing to, most importantly, spend cryptocurrency. Because one of the biggest problems with crypto users is the people that just won't spend it. All they do is hold on to it. And as you were commenting earlier, it's the spending of cryptocurrency that makes it useful and makes it valuable. So, you know, if we get enough crypto people who are willing to spend it to come to the same geographic area, we can have a much larger economic weight and we can more effectively bring more businesses on board. Because for now, we've done pretty well with the relatively small group that we have, but we're still pretty thin as far as the, you know, like the amount of spending that is possible with the at least the known crypto community here. Obviously, we don't know everybody. You know, not everybody who is a crypto person or who spends crypto is going to come out to a public meeting. So I don't know how deep the pool is as far as crypto spending here, but you know, I suspect it's not more than 1% of any given business's revenue in any month.
Very interesting.
So bringing more users to this area, to New Hampshire generally, and to places like Keene or Portsmouth, which are already the hot spots, will only, I think, make cryptocurrency stick in the marketplace and expand at a faster rate. And that's only a good thing for all of us. So there's so many reasons why crypto libertarian types really ought to get their butts to New Hampshire as soon as possible.
And, you know, there's, I told you kind of in the pre-show warm up here that there are literally 1,000 things to talk to you about. You're just one of the most interesting people right now, doing things and being an activist and living this sort of lifestyle. But you sort of glossed over it. You have a church?
Yeah, that's called the Shire Free Church.
Okay. And what on earth led you to down? I mean, I'm sure we can't go into, you know, 3 hours of spiritual talk, but what led you down that road, kind of back of the envelope elevator pitch?
I was previously an atheist earlier in my life after having been raised a Presbyterian, and I changed my perspective then, I think, in my late 20s about that. And a few years later, we launched the Shire Free Church, and it is a interfaith peace ministry. So it is not one particular belief system. Anybody who, you know, is a peaceful person, who is an advocate of peace, would be welcome as a minister in the Shire Free Church. It's a decentralized church, so there's no like board of elders or anything like that. You could go to church.shiresociety.com to learn more about about that.
And that has helped you carry forward, you were saying, some of your cryptocurrency work, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I see it as a God-given mission that, you know, we get people's hands on cryptocurrency so as to disempower the state from the violence that it can inflict on people. So the fiat currency that the states, various different governments of the world have, you know, basically just empower them and allow them to spend endlessly, as we've seen with, you know, Venezuela and Zimbabwe and the United States government, spend endlessly into things like war and wars on their own people and dropping bombs, you know, on the Middle East or wherever. And so the more we can get people into cryptocurrency, the less power that evil organization will have. And I personally, I view the government as an evil religion. That, you know, corrupts people and is awful and violent. You know, people treat government things very religiously. They the flag, for instance, the pews, they literally have pews in courtrooms. You've got a man in a robe at the front of a room and everybody stands up and sits down for him, unless you're a team where we don't stand for them at all. Like I said, it's an interfaith church. So
it's not anthems or hymns.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that is fascinating. And this is how you earn your bread and butter. This is your, you know, Free Talk Live in a sense. It's this wonderful program where, you know, it's a call-in show. It has segments and guests and co-hosts, that rotate in and out, and it is on the cutting edge of really anything that Ian Freeman has talked about today. It's kind of always working through these ideas and finding their logical implications as things come about. So it is just, again, mandatory listening, something you have to get out and do and at least pick up a few times a week. Are you guys still running 7 days a week?
Yeah, we do a live broadcast radio show 3 hours a night, 7 days a week, across over 200 radio stations from coast to coast and beyond in the U.S., Guam, Alaska. We're on also two international satellite channels on free-to-air satellite over sub-Saharan Africa, as well as North and Central America.
Wow. Well, I promised you half an hour, and I kind of lied. One kind of last question, kind of end on a controversial note, get that controversial blurb out there. You've sort of seen it all in the libertarian, anarchist sort of free market voluntarist space, from the birth of cryptocurrency to the Ron Paul movement to kind of everything in between. I was curious to ask your thoughts now. You guys hit the mainstream hard, in a tangential way, when Chris Cantwell became even more infamous as sort of the weeping or the crying Nazi, or, you know, whatever the mainstream press termed him as. And he was a co-host for a little while with Free Talk Live, and then he was dismissed and so forth. I've been dying to ask, you know, looking back at that and how that's transpired. And I think you've since had him back to kind of even talk about his experiences there. And something as controversial as that, as being even, you know, mildly associated with it, what was that period like?
The period where we booted Chris off, or the period where he came back for a post-show interview?
right. So maybe the in-between, because you boot him off, if I remember correctly.
We fired him because he turned out to be a racist. We'd had him on the air.
Before he becomes like the racist that he's sort of recognized as.
That's
now.
Correct. Yeah. We fired him and he kind of went deeper down that rabbit hole and really became like a total like racist, activist icon kind of character. Ended up on Vice Television after the Charlottesville riot or whatever you want to call that. And you know, he's still somebody who I know. He's somebody who I reluctantly would call a friend. I mean, I try to, you know, to minister peace to that man and hope that he can find some inner peace at some point. You know, I'm one of the few people who is willing to show him love, you know, and that's something that he doesn't get, I think, in a lot of places. He's a man who thrives on hatred, and he loves to be hated. I mean, what happens to Chris Cantwell has no effect on Free Talk Live whatsoever, so sure. I don't really know how to answer the question.
No, I think you did it perfectly. So that was kind of what I'm getting to. If people are unfamiliar with how passionate you are about these issues, that here is literally a dude who is considered societally anyway to be a scourge and all this other stuff. And there's every reason to, you know, excommunicate him socially, to ostracize him, all the rest of it. Yeah. And right. And yet here you are, you know, like you're saying, you know, you still sort of offer out, you know, a chance to that dude. And I think there's a, you know, I hear a lot of, you know, overtly religious folks, kind of conventional religious folks or even progressives talk this sort of talk, but it's very rare that they actually engage in it to the degree that you do. And I guess that was a way for me to sort of, you know, introduce a controversy, but also kind of show how you're always so, especially on the show, you're always willing. I mean, you definitely get passionate about things, but you're always willing to kind of step back for a second and check your biases, you know, kind of come to people.
We want to have the conversation. I don't want to, you know, I didn't want to get rid of Chris because I want the conversation to go away. I just didn't want to have him being a host of Free Talk Live. So he was never actually banned from the show. He was still welcome to call in, and he still did to kind of tell us his side of things going on. In more recent days, like within the last year, we've had him in to do Freer Talk Live, which is our little Twitch and DLive, which are a couple of video streaming platforms where we'll do like an after show. So after the radio show's over, we'll stay on and we'll, you know, like a half hour later, we'll start up the after show. And Aria DiMezzo, who is one of the co-hosts on Free Talk Live, has done a debate show with Chris called She-Male versus Nazi. And from what I understand, they have planned for a second episode, but I don't know if a date has been announced quite yet for that, but it is in the works. And there's also been another one with another one of our co-hosts, formerly known as Rich Paul. He's now legally changed his name to Nobody. And he had done an episode which was called Hippie versus Nazi. And those are particularly interesting episodes. By the way, the Hippie versus Nazi was banned from YouTube, so you can only get the library network, the decentralized library. There's a link on the freekeen.com website for that. But, you know, that's a particularly interesting episode because Chris really gets to explain what he believes in both of these circumstances, and it's worse than a lot of people think. You know, he used to be a libertarian, and he's pretty much lost any link whatsoever to any kind of libertarianism or belief in, you know, free market economics or anything. And he's gone total statist in favor of this, you know, white supremacist nonsense that he espouses. So, you know, we make that, we give him the microphone, give him an opportunity, but not one where he's not being challenged. He's constantly being challenged by an alternative, you know, by a pro-freedom, pro-peace viewpoint. And so I think that those sorts of conversations are beneficial. And obviously some people disagree and they'll protest and they'll pull their support from our show. And that's okay. And that's just the price you have to pay for creative freedom.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the essence of Ian Freeman and Free Talk Live. And that, I believe, regardless of where you come down on these issues, is why he and others will bring up issues like cryptocurrency that others are either too afraid to touch or they won't go in these areas. They will bring, it's so important to have a show like this on the air that is unafraid, brave, principled, you know, that still, you know, he's not wishy-washy. He's not sitting there going, oh, you know, Chris is a great guy. He's a fan. I get a sandwich with him. He's willing to condemn the views that the man holds, but also believes in dialogue and the peaceful interaction. And I believe that your example It's so easy to dunk on a guy like Cantwell or anybody else for that matter, that is this sort of outcast. It takes a really, you know, fantastic person in my view, to try to understand where they're coming from, to debate them and acknowledge them. And I think you just completely disarm him, basically. He's got nowhere to go.
Well, I don't know about that. he's a really smart guy, and he's not an easy person to disarm. I mean, all you can really do is just disagree and make whatever points that...
Sure. I mean, more by your example, just by the fact that you're willing to do these things. But anyway, I have taken way too much of your time.
Worries, man. Always happy to talk about freedom and migration to New Hampshire and cryptocurrency. These are all very important ideas, and I hope that your listening audience will visit move.shiresociety.com, and that is the Shire Society page that encourages people to migrate here if you care about freedom. If you care about freedom and you care about cryptocurrency, you really ought to be around other people who feel the same way. I mean, it's incredible the difference that it makes. We literally live in crypto Mecca, where you can spend cryptocurrency on things like getting your car repaired. You can go to a few different, you know, food trucks and restaurants and such. There's even a dentist that takes cryptocurrency here. Nice. So, you know, we're just getting started, and we could really use some help here.
Very cool. So there, and where can they find you personally and follow you personally?
I'm one of the key bloggers over at the website freekeen.com. And that's where I post a lot of the kind of the big news about stuff that's happening here. So like the Nobody's campaign for mayor, that's, you know, one of the things that I've been posting about. The, you know, recent developments, like we just got another convenience store on board accepting cryptocurrency. So we now actually have two convenience stores here in Keene, longtime successful, you know, locations that are accepting crypto. So if you need any pipes or alcohol, or whatever, you can go and spend your Bitcoin Cash or Dash or Bitcoin on those things. I think even Thirsty Owl's taken Bitcoin SV, because there's one guy in town who's like a big SV fanatic, and he got one of the bars to accept that. So, you know, it's kind of a fun place, and there's just so much to do. And if we had another dozen cryptocurrency people here, it would probably double our strength.
So you heard the man. Get out to New Hampshire. Support.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to come to Keene. There's you know, good opportunities across New Hampshire. There's crypto people all over the state. So, you know, look at the different places, the different cities, and, you know, find a place that's right for you, and then you can get connected with people. The two hot spots are Portsmouth and Keene. Those are the places that have more per capita businesses than pretty much a lot of other places in the world. We're beaten by very few places out there.
Very, very cool. And you'll get a chance to use the adjective wicked everywhere you go. Wicked cool, wicked pissa.
Are you from up here?
No, I just have a few friends that went to UNH, so just waited for years. Okay. But in any case, thank you so much for doing this, man. Get out and support Free Talk Live. Get out and support Ian Freeman and everything he does. He is just one of those guys that is super inspirational. Everything he touches is just something worth paying attention to, considering, grappling with. And again, enough fawning. Thank you so much, man, for coming on.
Appreciate it. Hey, thanks for having me.